Subcommittee on House Bill 2060 will come to order. Bill Reagan, would you come forward and give us just a brief overview of the bill so we know exactly what we're dealing with? And I think while he's coming up, Christy, would you fill us in on what you have for us?
You'll find in your places a copy of the April 20th, 1984 interim memo from Legislative Research on off-track betting. You may want to look that over if you haven't seen it, as well as just a real generalized section-by-section breakdown of the bill that I did this afternoon.
After I called?
No, before. Before.
Because I thought that was pretty quick. Do you have this? I don't have one, Christy. Oh, here it is.
Yes, you do.
Did you make some of those available for
yes,
people
the
people.
I believe most of the people in the audience have copies of that.
Okay.
You can get more if you need them.
Okay, Bill.
Madam Chairperson and members of the committee, I'm Bill Reagan with the Oregon Racing Commission. This type of wagering, known as off-racecourse wagering, was approached to the legislature in 1983 through a private bill, plus one sponsored by the Oregon Racing Commission. Both bills, House Bill 2139, was tabled at the request of the State and House Federal Affairs Committee. The other bill, which is introduced by a private corporation known as TrackMate Incorporated, was taken off of the table, and because there were no further signatures, they had some problems with credibility, and all the sponsors in the Senate withdrew their names. So that bill died for a so-called lack of a second. And I think they were wise in what they did. They assigned it to an interim committee, which consisted of Representative Al Young and Paul Phillips, with Lonnie Roberts chairing the interim committee. They held many meetings and gathered input from everyone concerned in the industry, plus the Racing Commission. Outside of two items that I believe were omitted from House Bill 2060, I believe it is an excellent bill that gives the Racing Commission flexibility in enforcing the intent of the law. House Bill 2060 is designed, number one, to permit off-racecourse wagering by either telephone direct to the host racetrack or by pari-mutuel wagering at facilities located off the racetrack. Regardless of where your bets are made, they will go right into the host track, whether it's by telephone, and it will become part of every pool while betting's in progress. So wherever you bet out here at Grants Pass, Klamath Falls, Ontario, that money would be recorded at the track and it would be part of that pool when the computations are known after the race is over. It also permits the track to bring in live special races. For example, Washington on May the 1st, the governor signed a bill permitting them in Washington to bring live to the three racetracks operating in Washington at that time, the Kentucky Derby, which is the first Saturday in May, and then 2 weeks later, the Preakness, which is in Baltimore, Maryland, and then on the first Saturday in June, the Belmont. That's the only three right now that Washington is letting them bring in out from outside the state. California has inter-track wagering. And I was in California with the vice chairman of our racing commission over the big Breeders' Cup that they had down in Hollywood on November the 10th. And Bay Meadows opened up early that afternoon. That's where we were attending a conference. And they bet over $1,200,000 at Bay Meadows alone on those Breeder Cup races that were being run down in Hollywood Park that same afternoon. And then Bay Meadows finished up with a short program of their own with horses there at the track. That is what one of the other phases that House Bill 2060 will do. In order to assure the race meet licensee of a profit when he's operating an off race course facility, the bill permits a 5% surcharge to be paid at the time that you make a bet. For example, when you make a $2 bet, it will actually cost you $2.10. 10 cents to remain with the host licensee, and then $2 goes into the pool to be made as part of the payoff. This is very similar to the way the Fish Commission and well, it's now called Fish and Wildlife Commission, does when you buy a license out from one of their dealers, they charge you extra in addition to what the state has set as a fee for your hunting or fishing license. It permits only the race meet licensee to apply for an off-race course license. And I know the Grants Pass is here, and they have some fears. For example, the Belmont Stake is run during their race meet down at Grants Pass. They would be permitted under the Federal Interstate Horse Racing Act to make a deal with Belmont Park in New York and televise that race live down at Grants Pass and also make bets on it at the Grants Pass race course as part of their afternoon program. This is what this bill would do. It would also permit the dog track, Mullen McKinnon Club in Portland, to do the same thing, to take it in if they wanted to do that up in Portland. And fifth and most important, it would require the commission to license all off-race course persons if that person was required to be licensed for the same job at the race course. I said there are a couple of things the commission would like to see in the bill. We have one where you have a blank line 25 of page 2, and we suggest that that read, in addition to other amounts paid to the commission pursuant to this chapter, a race meet licensee that conducts off-race course wagering shall pay to the commission a percentage of the off-race course mutual wagering as determined by the commission. Upon approval, the percentage shall become part of the licensee's written application as required in Section 3 of this 1985 Act. It should be noted that no off-race course wagering shall be permitted without prior approval of the commission. And finally, we believe that in absence of any county or city ordinance, an off-race course facility should be permitted in that location. And I want to emphasize one thing, and I said it before, and I'll say it again. The commission is empowered by this bill to restrict off-race course wagering when such wagering would have a substantial adverse effect upon the wagering at a host racetrack. For example, I said it, as I said it before, I would stop wagering in Klamath County, Jackson County, Josephine County, Curry County, and Douglas County the Sunday preceding the opening of the race meet at Grants Pass. This weekend, they're opening the earliest they've ever opened. It's going to be on Memorial Day weekend, and I believe that's Friday, May the 23rd. Therefore, the preceding Sunday, if there were a facility in any of those five counties, they would have to stop taking any off-race course wagering in order to not have any harm to the people that would be coming to the racetrack at Grants Pass. And their meet will run through July 7th, 1985. And the commission is wholeheartedly behind that because you have to protect these small race meet licensees. It's not only how much money is bet and what they're doing for the horsemen. It's a community project. They have rodeos sometimes in conjunction with them, and they have other events. And as a matter of protecting the interest of that community, it is essential that no wagering be permitted except at the track during their host race meet. Madam Chairperson, if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Committee, have any questions? Yes.
Oh, thank you. I thought I heard you mention earlier that possibly a New York race, the Belmont Park race, could run at the same time and be televised into Grants Pass on the same day of the race?
That's correct. And what they'd allow, they know that those things, if you've seen them on TV, Representative Peterson, they usually say the post time is at 2:35 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So when they schedule the daily racing program, they wouldn't have a race schedule that would interfere with that, and they'd have all the machines set aside. That's what they do at Long Acres in Yakima and Spokane in Washington.
Okay, I'll have to admit my ignorance about horse racing.
So what they do is, that's printed on your program, and the racing form that is sold in that area will list the Belmont Stakes in there so that people can look at the racing form and see the performance of the horses that are running in that $250,000 event.
So it's not a visual thing?
Well, yes, because Channel 6 will be carrying it in this area here, and CBS will be carrying it down in the Grants Pass area.
Okay, well, help me understand how that works. If they're going in to watch the race in Grants Pass, but they're also watching the race from New York, or?
What they would do, it has some monitors stationed around. They'd be picking it off of Channel 5, for example, in Grants, which comes out of Medford,
right.
KOBI, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't be running any live race at that particular moment down at Grants Pass. They'd reserve the machines to take bets on the Belmont Stakes. The money that would be paid off on the winners at Grants Pass probably have no correlation to what's going to be paid off on Win, Place, and Show in New York. There's a federal Interstate Horse Racing Act that tells you what you have to comply with, and they would have to execute those papers in conjunction with Belmont Park, and then the racing commissions would both have to approve that agreement. So you don't just do it overnight. You start that 2 or 3 months ahead of time.
Okay.
But that would be a big bonus to increase the attendance, in my personal opinion, at Grants Pass. It's something they haven't had a chance to do before. And I want to say one thing. This is personal opinion. You know that you're going to have over 3,000 lottery dealers selling lottery tickets all over the state of Oregon. But you're not going to have that situation in the off-race course. You may not have but one, two, or three, four facilities located all over the state of Oregon. It'd be similar to going to a racetrack and seeing it live. But it's so expensive to drive from Eugene or Grants Pass or Roseburg or Klamath Falls or Ontario in to see the live races that they can do like they do in Pennsylvania at Penn National. It's being cabled into 430,000 homes. And their average wagering is $52,000 nightly through their telephone betting system. So I think that through the controls in this bill, that the Oregon Racing Commission can carry out the intent of any legislation that may be passed.
Thank you. Representative Phillips?
It might be helpful if you described some of the types of facilities we talked about setting up. I was glad to hear you say we're talking about four or five and not... I've heard people say we're talking about setting up hundreds of betting parlors around the state. That's not going to be the case. What would you anticipate the normal place would be in conjunction with a restaurant or another track? What type of thing would you visualize this?
Madam Chairperson, Representative Phillips, that's a very good question that was brought up during the interim hearings. Now, New Haven, Connecticut has one that's built by the state of Connecticut and the American Totalizator Company. That's a that's a theater-type operation. Seat over 2,000 people. It's a very first cabin, as you would say, on a cruise. You have restaurants. You have a place where you get a hamburger or a hot dog, and they have a big wide screen. They bring in all their races primarily from New York, Yonkers, Belmont, Saratoga, Aqueduct, places like that. And they go into New Haven, Connecticut. They do not have any horse racing at all in Connecticut. They do have dog racing. The intent of the people that we've talked to here, our two licensees, is currently the Greyhound track is thinking in terms of facilities off the race course. And they would build them in accordance with the type of community. If it's a large community, they would probably go something similar to New Haven. On a smaller one, it would be on a scale commensurate with the amount of people in that community. But it would be something that would be like going into a theater. It's not something that you just... could go into a grocery store and do something like that.
Further question?
I hope that answered your question.
Yep. That's. We also talked, not only would the dogs and horse people have control over their own product, but the local community, if the city council or the county commission had some major problem, they had a local option to opt out or prevent this. That I noticed wasn't in the bill. And
that's correct. That's what I said. That's one of the two things, Representative Phillips, that I thought, I think it was just an oversight because we all agreed it should have been in there, that unless it's prohibited by county or city ordinance.
Yeah. Okay. The other side of the question is the owners of the product, the horse people.
They'll have control of their own product.
Okay.
There can be no private corporation set up like there were under one of the bills, and Senate Bill 583 was introduced in 1983. The host track has absolute control of its own product, and they have to execute the contracts in case they didn't want to build a facility in that area. Grants Pass may have a facility at their county fairgrounds, and they may want to be the licensee down there to have off race course wagering, for example, from Portland Meadows or from Mullen McKinnon Club, or even the state fair. And the state fair's out here, and you know they're looking for income to upgrade the state fair. These are all possible under this bill, but still the State Fair, the Mullen McKinnon Club, and Portland Meadows have to do with their own destiny. And if they don't want to operate the facility, they enter into a contract agreement with whoever they want to run it.
It might be helpful if you were to describe how the handle would be broken up and who would profit from this money that would be wagered?
Well, first of all, under the current law, the horsemen are getting an average of 6% of the money that's bid at Portland Meadows. And the state's getting about 5%, and the balance goes to the track out of about an 18 to 20% average takeout, because there are various pools. The pool meaning a win pool, a place pool, and a show pool. A win pool means your horse has to win. A place pool means your horse has to come in first and second. It doesn't have to be the first horse, but it's got to be one of the first two horses to be a successful place bet. Show means your horse can come in first, second, or third. And then we have quinella betting. That's where you have to pick the first two horses across the line. And you're tying up two horses. It could be 6-5, but your ticket would say 5-6. And as long as the 6 and the 5 are the first two horses across the line, you have a winning ticket. Then we have the trifecta. You have to pick the first three horses in the exact order on a trifecta bet. Each one of these have a different takeout and a different split up, how it goes. The state gets a percentage, and the track gets a percentage, and the horseman gets a percentage, the backside improvement fund gets a percentage. But those are all set out in the application and by state law.
May I ask a question clarifying it? These are currently in statutes, and the same statutes would apply to off-track betting as currently applies to track betting. Is that correct?
That's correct, except if you notice what I just said on the line 25 of page 2 where it says, shall pay to the commission, we realize that an off-track facility is going to cost some money to get organized. And we may not want to assess them the full 5%, and the commission in the application may want to charge them 3%, for example. That's why we think it ought to be flexible at this particular moment. I've estimated very conservatively that the state of Oregon would net $500,000 in 1985-87 if it became in place sometime around October or November of 1985.
That's how long you think it would take for a facility to get in place and start producing because it will take some time for
it. It'll take some time, right. And I think the horses right now are leaning toward telephone betting as they do at the Penn National Racecourse in Pennsylvania. And what you would do is that you area code out, meaning the first three digits maybe up to 35 miles from downtown Portland. You can't go into Washington. That's against federal law. So maybe Salem might be the first three digits that the 800 number could legally be used to call into the host track. That's to protect the people at the track so that the normal people that are going to go to the track that evening or afternoon would still be encouraged to go instead of just sitting at home and picking up a phone and betting the easy way.
Did you have another question?
Well, just I think I'll let other... I know this bill pretty well, so I'll let him...
You're asking clarifying questions, Fred. Representative Phillip, Representative Miller, did you have anything?
I do. Do you want me to begin?
Certainly.
Just wanted you to comment, Bill, on an editorial that was in one of the larger newspapers recently. It says that the lottery measure that placed a constitutional ban on casino gambling also specifically excluded parimutuel racing from the games to be regulated by the new lottery commission. The measure recognized that horse and dog racing don't mix well with lotteries, that parimutuel racing is a competitor of the lottery for the state's gambling dollars. What do you think about that?
I think that that's a very accurate statement. It's my personal opinion that when it happened in Washington, Longacre's handle, in our terminology, mean how much money is bet on a day or a race or whatever. The wagering did go down a little bit, but now it's back up. Even with the economic impact of Boeing laying off people, it averaged over $1,208,000 a day last year at Longacres. That includes some of their bad days, like $700,000 to $800,000 a day. But their average for 130 or 131 race days at Longacres was $1,208,000. And they beat the effects of the lottery. Lottery will be a phenomenon for a while. I think it's going to hurt the dog track this year somewhat. It has to hurt them. But I think that the dog track can handle itself. They've been in business for 52 seasons, and I believe that they will learn how to cope with the dollar as many other states that have both dog and horse racing have coped where they have lotteries like.
Well, they are in direct competition, you think? Does it make sense to try to promote the lottery and
It's unfortunate that lottery can spend, that the lottery people get all this kind of money to spend for advertising, and the state of Oregon is prohibited from promoting any of the racing activity, which is quite an economic base in the state of Oregon for horses and dogs. You'll be competing for some of those dollars, no question about it. As I said, I think that horse area right now is sort of bottomed out because, after all that money going over to Vancouver from that area right now, it's been pretty handy for the people in that north part of Portland. But it hasn't been that convenient for the people out in North Portland and East Portland and Southeast Portland, out closer to the Greyhound track. And I think the Greyhound track will compete for some of those. But I still think there's more fresh dollars in Oregon. And if you put on a good product, you'll survive.
Well, if, let's say, if we're out there promoting both of these things, off-track betting as well as the lottery, what do we say to those who think that Oregon is really getting deep into gambling? There are some even on the second floor of this building who get a little nervous about this kind of thing. You remember we went through the Bingo Commission
yes.
last term. Is that a legitimate concern that, boy, here we go after the lottery, here we go for off-track betting, what's coming next? Do you worry about that?
I think if you have off-track wagering, you have to remember that Pennsylvania already does have a lottery. They were the first state to have a dishonest state employees that rigged the computer, and they should use different numbers. That would have sent any signals off. So they already have horse racing, have had for many years, and they've had the lottery. And I think perhaps one reason that Penn National is surviving is because they're able to have off-race course wagering through their telephone hookup. So I believe that anybody that's going to be in business can compensate through business methods. And I think that there's enough dollars out there. First of all, you don't have to go to the track to buy a dollar lottery ticket or 50 cents, however much they're going to be. I have no idea how much they're going to be. And as you know, I debated on public television up in October against Hank Crawford on the lottery. I just hate to see 3,000 outlets going all over Oregon. I was debating on behalf of my church group. They felt that I could get the resources quicker and do my debate. That doesn't mean I won't buy a lottery ticket. I'll probably be one of the first ones in line. But all I'm saying is that, yes, there is a moral question to be judged out there, but I think we have to take back more of the economics of the whole thing. We've got all these people in Oregon with over $100 million in farmland and horses right now, and brooding mares and stud horses. That's based on a study done by Oregon State University. And I think we have to give the greyhound industry, which has had 52 seasons here already since 1953, I think we have to give them all a chance to still get their share of the state dollar. And this is a way, if they want to go out and compete, this gives them another tool that they can compete with.
Okay. The concern, however, though, is not necessarily for those who are the breeders and the trainers and the owners. It's for those who show up at the track, for those who buy the lottery ticket. I think people worry that those who are pungling up their last 50-cent piece to get lucky, is that a concern that you share, or is that not the crowd that shows up to the track?
I think you'll find the crowd that shows up at the racetrack is basically the same crowd that'll be there the last day that was there the first day, and then you'll have new groups brought in, which their tour operator goes out and talks to realtors and accountants and senior citizens. They bring all these groups into the tracks, trying to get new people interested. I don't think I can ask a question more bluntly than to say I think there's enough dollars out there for everybody to compete with. And I think we should throw the moral issue aside on this thing, because they successfully have licked it in Pennsylvania. And they have both off race course wagering, on race course wagering, and then they have a lottery.
One other question: what's the impact on the concessions business at the track when you start allowing people to either phone in their bets or just not be at the track and buy the hot dogs and so on, park and so on and so forth?
Madam Chairperson, Representative Miller, I can only give you one statistic. I attended a conference down at the University of Arizona at Tucson, and New York, for the first time, let them televise live into their off-race course facilities down there. That's separate than the New York Waging Board down there. They started televising night harness racing from Yonkers, but they set a 35-mile limit. And they put little monitors up there where the people could actually see it. Their handle increased 35% at their off-race group, but they did put a 35-mile limit in order that the people that would normally drive those 35 miles would still go to the track. And this is something that you have to be concerned about, and the track may decide that they don't want to license anybody closer than 50 miles from Portland, like Salem is. You start right here. You could start calling from a 378 digit. You could use your 800 number to call into the horse track. And I don't know about Multnomah County Club. I can't speak for them, but I do think that they want to protect their territory. And as you know, Washington right now, Representative Miller, there's been various car counts done at Portland Meadows this year, and it can vary anywhere from 35% to 45% of the vehicles are from the state of Washington. This tells me that the Washingtonians, if you offer a fair program, will be there. Now, this last weekend was one of the most successful weekends Portland Meadows has had, and Washingtonians came down in droves to participate at Portland Meadows. And it didn't. And they've had the lottery up there, too, and they just had a $6 million jackpot, yet they bet $568,000 Saturday and Sunday at Portland Meadows, which is the two biggest days they've had this year.
Thanks.
I have a couple of questions, and then I'll hear from some others, but what I probably have it, but I don't see it right away. What is the revenue impact in terms of the state? What is the state taking in currently on either an annual or a biennial basis?
We feel with Portland Meadows operating full-time again now that they've got their bankruptcy problem somewhat resolved, we feel that our net revenue will be around $12 million this biennium. And that we hopefully will contribute between $6 and $7 million to the general fund.
$6 to $7 million.
Yes. Now we're talking about 85, 87. So whatever you get extra from this type of wage, we'll be extra about that.
Okay. And do you have any estimates?
Yes, conservatively I would say $500,000 net.
That would, yeah. And you did mention that. That's the first biennium that you would.
Yes, like and that. I think it would grow after that.
One further question. The question of whether, for example, a dog track can have horse races televised at that track. In other words, can you interexchange the two races?
Well, if I was the president of Multnomah County Club and I was having a matinee performance on May the 1st or whatever that first Saturday date might be, and the Kentucky Derby was there, it may seem like it's not compatible. But actually, it is the host track, and they would have, under the interpretation of the bill, they would have the option of bringing that special race in if they wanted to do it. I doubt if they'd want to bring in all the Hollywood Park races or Long Acres or Santa Anita, whoever might be running out of state on either side of us. But for the Portland area, they may want to bring in the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness, the Belmont, because those are something that's been traditional for almost 100 years, those three big races. And I can say if I was general manager and president of Multnomah County Club, I'd sure bring it in that afternoon.
The option would be available to them.
The option is available, but it'd be up to them to exercise it. Okay. Once again, though, dogs right now have no Interstate Act, but the horses are controlled by Federal Interstate Horse Racing Act, and at that point, then, the Greyhound track would have to comply with the Interstate Horse Racing Act by making their commitments both with the host track in New York, Kentucky, or Maryland, and then go through the Racing Commission and do all that. Once again, they'd have to start several months ahead of time to plan on something like that.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you. Thank you very much. John Freeman, would you like to come up? Welcome. That's fine. I understand you've been designated to be the spokesperson for that group back there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're all chickened out.
Okay.
Well,
please state your name for the
John
record.
Freeman, Southern Oregon Horse Racing Association. Listening to Bill, why he kind of cleared up a few questions, but I would like to see what he said wrote into the bill, because I think that we have to have some protection for the horses. And if we don't have some protection for the tracks, the small tracks at least, we're going to be out of luck. I think that one of the things is, I don't think dogs should have horse racing. That's my way of putting it. I think we shouldn't have dog races at our racetrack. So, and another thing that I think that track, licensed track, should be the one that would have the deal to put these off, this off betting on. I don't think it should be parlors or anything else. I think it should be from the track. And another thing, I think that there should be a big distance between the off betting parlors and the tracks. I guess that's about all I've got to say.
Committee have some questions? Yes, Representative Phillips.
Sure, just a point of clarification, since I sat on the committee, we had every intention to protect the local races. It's been